Third Coast Digest is brought to you in part by 91.7 FM, WMSE Frontier Radio.
In August of 2010, my friend Mary Whitty called me and told me that her parents had died by taking their own lives in a way that was almost romantic and very deliberate and very, very well thought out. And it made me start to think about end-of-life issues and the right that a person may have to take his own life. My own brother committed suicide in a much more violent way. He was 46 at the time. He'd been suffering from depression for 7 or 8 years. So the act of suicide is very close to me, and I've witnessed it as a violent act, an act that leaves a hole in the survivors. And also through Mary, I've witnessed it as an act that can be healing and can be very positive. So I asked Mary to come in and talk to me on this podcast, and she will be here and we'll talk about her parents' choice. I'm also going to talk to Dr. Bruce Wilson, who is a cardiologist here in Milwaukee and who has worked as a hospice director for several years. He's an advocate of a person's right to choose how they end their life. And I'll talk to Dr. Wilson about this as a political issue, as a social issue, as an issue that bears thinking about. Thank you. Mary Goot Whitty, welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
That's all right. You're a friend of mine.
Yeah.
You've always in the past been Mary Whitty, mother of Sandy, mother of many children.
4 boys, yes.
Wife of Ned.
Yes.
And but I know, and I've always known you were Mary Goot Whitty, but there's more emphasis on the Goot now. Mm. Tell me why.
I think because of this very bold and brave choice my parents made to die together, they have left quite a legacy, and it is Dr. and Mrs. Goot who went together, and I'm their oldest daughter. And I think what they did is quite profound. And I think the state of medical care for the elderly is such a big topic that we must discuss. And I'm proud to be their daughter, and I'm pleased to speak out.
You've become quite an advocate since they took their own lives in August?
In July. July 18th, they were pronounced dead. And, yes, it was they're together.
Right.
And my father had talked with us for years, not about the way in which they were going to do it, but he was a surgeon and a man who liked having control. And I think he, in the last 2 years, I realized my mom had dementia and Alzheimer's.
She had Alzheimer's, all right.
And she was slipping this summer fast. And they promised one another they would not go into a nursing home together.
Right. And had they promised each other that they would go past together?
You know, that's a very good question. Obviously, they talked about it. I believe I wasn't there for, seeing a promise.
Right.
But we three girls were impacted when our grandfather had a massive stroke in the 70s and went over to Colonial Manor, saw him, tied up in the wheelchair and the smells, et cetera, et cetera. Uh-huh. Very strong memory. And then our grandmother, his wife, Mary Tobin, was in a wonderful place, Cedar Lake Home, out on Cedar Lake.
Right.
But she, too, died in a nursing home. And my parents, there is no way we're going to end up dying in a nursing home. And my father was not as ill as my mother, so it was he made a choice.
He made a very dramatic and demonstrative choice.
Yes.
From what I've read about it and what I've heard and talked to you about, they really wanted to die together.
Yeah,
because they
were quite a team.
Right.
We three girls were extremely lucky to have parents so in love,
right?
So committed to marriage, to one another, they enjoyed being together. And my dad did say to me this past summer, I miss your mom. That same Kitty Goot wasn't in there anymore. And he also said, I don't want to go on without her. And that's, you know, wow.
That seems to me and seems to be the hardest adjustment to Alzheimer's is that loss of identity in the other, the person that has it. I mean, I don't know. I know that the people with Alzheimer's suffer, certainly.
Yeah.
But the people who have to care, the burden of care for the people, falls to the people who don't have Alzheimer's, so immense. I mean, just to care for them, to keep track of them, but also that they're not there across the breakfast table.
Exactly. And what you're saying is so spot on, and there's so many aspects of this that occurred. My mom also had polymyalgia rheumatica, which is like a rheumatoid arthritis through her whole body. So she was in a lot of pain.
A lot of pain, right.
And on steroids, so she was puffy and was heavy.
Yeah.
And then that sparkle in her eye was gone because of dementia.
Right.
And I'm so confounded with this disease. You know, I just what you're saying about the caregiver being the one who is so profoundly affected. My father was getting thinner and thinner this summer. And, you know, as I said before, he missed his wife, but she was still sweet and they were cute together and held hands. So that was nice, you know, that my mom still had a say in this choice.
Right.
Many people ask if we think that she was too far gone. It's a legitimate question.
Yeah.
But he would write things and she would sign under his name.
Right. How long had she had the diagnosis?
2 years ago was dementia. They did a CT scan of her brain. And you can, in fact,
you can begin to see the deterioration.
Right. Changes in the brain, the shrinking. And many people, not everybody, but as we age, I mean, as we all know, there are, you know, physical and mental changes to our bodies.
As Jack Nicholson says, after you pass age 40, the meat rots.
And, I like that.
Yeah. And the brain is just meat after all.
Right.
So no, it all does deteriorate. Alzheimer's takes it.
I think
quicker and in a more acute way
is what we saw. Quicker,
right?
She could remember the past beautifully. Remember our names. Mm. We felt so lucky. She knew who we were, who my boys were.
Right.
But 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she wouldn't have had any idea what she maybe had just been.
And a fellow told a story to me about his father who had dementia, Alzheimer's, who was completely gone, except you'd sit in the room with him for an hour, half an hour, and once in a while, once a week maybe once a month, his eyes would come up and catch your eyes, and he would be there just for an instant, and then he'd be gone again.
Right.
We have such a strong sense of identity of ourselves and in the people that we are, our family that we're opposite most of our lives, if you're close to your family or whoever your loved ones.
Right.
And that when that goes, it's like, I completely understand how difficult it is and was for your father.
And it's as you keep, you know, you describe that situation, I think, you know, it was hurting him that much.
Sure.
He was maybe ready to go with her, ready for his exit in the world, in that he knew it would be expensive. There'd be care. There'd be a lot to do. You know, he made such a bold choice to go out on his terms or
now,
their terms.
How old were they? Were both of them?
My father was just about to turn 80.
Okay.
So his milestone of 80,
you give it to him.
Yes, we sure do. We say he's 80.
And yeah, he was there.
Born in 1930, died in 2010.
Right.
And my mom was 78. And for us who had been raised by such a vital, competitive, tennis-playing, golf-playing mother with a wit and energy to see such a 180 at 78, which I consider young.
Sure, it is nowadays.
Was tough.
Right. Obviously, there's a good deal of sadness and the traditional sense of loss.
Yeah.
But you appear to have turned on that and are taking it in a positive direction.
That's a nice thing to say. It is funny when I see people and they first, you know, recognize that it's me, Kitty and Dan's daughter, and they're like, hi, oh, you know,
right.
And you get sort of, I mean, they're being sympathetic and
sure.
lovely, and then the best.
Because what do you say?
Right, exactly, what do you say? And the next, they look at me and say, oh, but you look good.
Right. So, I love your hair.
All right. So I feel as if when a door closes, I mean, this many people say this, new doors or a door opens.
Right.
And I feel this. I feel my father would be so proud that I was taking their situation and discussing it, bringing it to the table.
Well, it can very easily be something that happened last July and gone, and I'm getting over it, and we're all moving on, and we're forgetting about
yeah.
it, just like the war in Afghanistan.
It changed my life.
It has.
I've already made a choice with Ned that we will buy a condo in Portland, Oregon, because there is doctor-assisted
right.
suicide.
I mean, a right-to-work state. Assisted suicide.
Assisted suicide there,
right.
Washington.
As is Montana.
Correct.
Right.
Those are the three states.
Right.
And I know that I want to be able to have a choice.
Right. Well, that's an interesting question. Your father and your mother did it without doctor. He was a doctor, surgeon.
He
so he knew how the body responds, and he knew how to do this.
Yeah, and there's a book called To Die Well.
Mm-hmm.
One of the authors is Dr. Sidney Wanzer. He lives in Massachusetts. I forget who the other co-author is.
Right.
But To Die Well, people can purchase.
Right.
Kurt Chandler at Milwaukee Magazine is doing an article on my parents and read the book.
Right.
And in fact, the way in which my parents took their life with helium is in the book, and even the page was marked in my father's briefcase that he left.
Right.
With the DVD called The Final Exit, which is by the person who put that together is Derek Humphrey.
Right.
And Derek is in Eugene, Oregon.
Okay.
And is the big... He was Hemlock Society.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you about the Hemlock
Society.
He's
a Brit. He's from Britain here in the States. It's not called the Hemlock Society anymore.
Oh.
There's ERGO, which is his organization.
ERGO.
And I'm not sure what those letters stand for, which is too bad.
Well, it's Latin for...
Oh, ergo.
And then, ergo.
Oh, and therefore, okay,
yeah.
That makes sense. And there's also a group that's called Compassion and Choices.
Mm-hmm.
And I've given to both organizations on behalf of my parents. Gosh, I wish it was a hot political issue, but right now this country has enough challenging.
A lot of political issues.
Sort of the last thing many states are wrestling with is, you know, the choice to die. But it's going to come to the forefront, I believe.
Obviously, I think it will. I mean, it's been something that's been in the air for a long time. And the fact that there are three states, Oregon, Washington, and Montana, that do have done it. The fact that there was the film, You Don't Know Jack, about Dr. Kevorkian in Detroit.
Which was
on HBO.
The documentary was phenomenal.
The documentary was wonderful. The film was good,
and the
too,
film with Al Pacino, I believe, was given rave reviews as well.
It was a good performance, and it was a good film. Took a very good approach to it.
Yeah.
But so it's something that's been in the air for a long time. We have, all people throughout history, have a hard time talking about death, discussing death. My thesis is that most religions grew up around the notion of death because it's such an incomprehensible thing.
Somebody just said this to me recently. The one reason we have challenging time with end of life is religion.
Mm-hmm.
That is the answer.
Right.
And Bruce Wilson, who's such a proponent, Dr. Bruce Wilson, who is a cardiologist, who is my parents' cardiologist, but also dear friend, this is a hot topic for him because his mother has Alzheimer's very seriously, mm-hmm. to the sad point, I believe, you know, I believe she's fed and, you know, what quality of life is that?
Right.
And Bruce speaks out on this, and he says that we in this country have gotten so good at prolonging life, mm-hmm. medically. And we who are a bit younger, who have the choice to make living wills, mm-hmm. need to be pretty specific in those living wills about what we hope for and what we
right.
don't want.
Yeah, we need to be clear, and especially when you come to Alzheimer's, because the ability to make a conscious choice or the...
And where is that cutoff point?
Right.
That's what they have such a challenging
right.
time with Alzheimer's.
I was going to say the perceived ability to make a conscious choice, the way we understand
yes.
identity...
Yes.
It doesn't. It's a wonderful topic to try to
yep.
find an answer to, and there probably is no other than on a case by case basis.
And case by case basis, and I'd be, you know, I should look into. Okay, my mother got Alzheimer's. What's the chance I'll get Alzheimer's? There is actually a genetic test.
There is
out
a genetic,
there.
Yeah.
And I'm not ready for that right now. But when does Oregon or Montana or Washington say, no, you know, you're too far gone? Or do you have a doctor who is so keenly aware of your wishes?
And can you sign it over to him and
exactly.
document it? And can you find a doctor that's willing to take that position?
Exactly.
Mary, thank you for coming in and talking about your parents.
Thank you for having me and letting me discuss this challenging and controversial subject. Thanks, Mark.